chapter 1 of Colossians. We haven't got very far. We probably won't get far today, 3 through 5. And really simply, we're still in the salutation. But I assure you that because it's just Paul's ordinary salutation, I assure you that it is very theological. In fact, the whole premise of studying the book of Colossians this year is because we believe that every book of the Bible is relevant to our day and our struggles and our temptations and even false teaching, and especially the book of Colossians. I think one of the things that I have, as in studying just these passages this week, I've just come aware of how it really goes against these beliefs that are out there, beliefs that even Christians are embracing. Now, I know I'm really thinking back sometime, but I have been thinking about the book called The Shack. One, because it's a movie now, so it must have been popular. And because of the author's new book, he made some comments. So I'm just going to mention them, and hopefully you'll see that just the very salutation of Colossians will deal with false teaching. Years ago, Al Mohler, when The Shack came out, he wrote this: "The Shack is a wake-up call for evangelical Christianity. The popularity of this book among evangelicals can only be explained by," here we go, "a lack of basic theological knowledge among us." I believe it. Now, I'm not going to punish anyone who read The Shack or went to the movie, but I will ask you, as a Christian, were you discerning? And I will ask you, did you see anything that you thought may have been contrary to the Bible? That would be the real problem if you had not. He goes on to say that it's a lack of a failure even to understand the gospel of Christ. The tragedy that evangelicals have lost the art of biblical discernment. And I do think that's the problem of our age. Someone asked me not too long ago, what do you think is the greatest problems? That's it. The lack and the loss of spiritual discernment. And it's traced back to our disastrous loss of biblical knowledge. He writes, "Discernment cannot survive without doctrine." Very telling. Now, what am I talking about? Well, you know as well as I do that Shack, they portray the Trinity as there's Papa, an African-American woman, as the first person, Jesus, a Jewish carpenter, and Sarayu, an Asian woman who is revealed to be the Holy Spirit. Can God be revealed as a woman? You know as well as I do there's a battle for this notion of gender neutrality of God. You know, the idea is that, well, they say, well, Father, the word Father is just a metaphor because God isn't a male. He's spirit. He doesn't have a body, doesn't have a physical body. And it's like other metaphors, they call them, it's called anthropomorphism, when you attribute to God features that he doesn't have, like when it talks about he's like a bird or a hen that cares for its brood. That's just a metaphor. God really isn't a bird in the sky. And they say, well, the word Father is just as that. And there are several places where it attributes perhaps God has nurturing features even as a mother. So is it okay that we call God the Father an African-American woman, or can we look at him as a gender of both male and female? I believe this passage will deal with that this morning, and I will make some comments about that. What about in the book of the Shack, when he would talk about that most roads lead nowhere and anyone can come to Christ? It doesn't matter what belief you have, that God has already reconciled the world together. Now, we're not talking about that he's died on the cross for the sins of man. That's not the issue. The issue is that all are saved. He's already reconciled. All you need to do is let people know that they've been reconciled. Now, I heard an interview with William Paul Young, and he was being asked those very things by a very gracious pastor. And his answer was a weasel answer. You could hear what he believed, but he was couching it in terms that would fit into an evangelical explanation. But guess what? In his new book, his recent book, this is one of the reasons why I'm bringing this up, called Lies We Believe About God, and I have my daughter to thank for bringing this to my attention, this is what he wrote. Who originated the cross? If God did, then we worship a cosmic abuser who in divine wisdom created a means to torture human beings in the most painful and abhorrent manner. Frankly, it is often this very